First, just a couple of items. Tomorrow is, of course, Labor Day, and as is our norm, we will, on days like that, have Mass, the daily Mass, at 9 o'clock in the morning. So there will be no evening Mass or confessions on Labor Day tomorrow. And secondly, I've been asked to remind you, especially if your children are in religious education, also known as CCD, that begins next Sunday. And so registration forms, if you haven't already done that, can be found on the website. So please go ahead and do that and get your child ready to be learning about the most important thing in the world, which is our faith. And secondly, Mary Ellen, our Director of Religious Education, has asked that I also mention that we still are in need of two teachers for the religious ed, Sunday religious ed. And I think the Lord might be telling me two are out here. So if you've been waiting for the sign, it's here. God wants you to call Mary Ellen and you can start. And after all, what a wonderful thing to pass on faith to the next generation. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to start with the story of a young man. It's actually a story I know that you've probably heard at least in pieces. And so I'll basically give you a recap. His name is Augustine, or you might call him Augustine, using the more Spanish-sounding part of the name. But Augustine was born in 354. His father was a pagan named Patricius. His mother was a Christian named Monica. And his mother tried to impart the faith to him as he was growing up, but he was a very intelligent, extremely bright young man. And he loved learning and all of these things. And as he's growing up, he's never baptized, and he doesn't see the faith, especially the Christian faith, as something that intelligent people would be following. And so he rejects it as a young man. And he's still looking for truth, but he's not going to find it, he thinks, in this faith. And so he went off. And even though he's looking for a truth, he's looking for it on his terms. And so he goes off, and to kind of use a phrase perhaps as maybe some young people in the world who are looking more in the world for truth might say, he was having a good time. He enjoyed himself very much. He had plenty of women and wine, and he was extremely popular. All things you would think that you need to have happiness even today. Things have not changed, brothers and sisters. People still think this is what you need for happiness. And yet it never was fulfilling for him. And he went years with this. Again, though still very bright, he was quoted famously, or maybe infamously, as saying once, "Lord, make me chaste, just not yet." He came across in the city of Milan his equal, a bishop named Ambrose. He had never heard someone speak about the Christian faith in such intelligent terms, and he was a bit captivated. He wasn't convinced just yet, but something opened in his heart. And then one day, he was relaxing in the garden of a friend of his, and he heard over the garden wall children playing a game. And he had never heard this before, but the children were singing, "Take and read, take up and read." And so he got up, he started looking around in his friend's house, and what he found was a copy of St. Paul's letter to the Romans. Now, he picked it up, he opened it, and his eyes fell on this passage. Imagine this with me, imagine being a guy in his prime having a good time, right? And you read this. "Let us conduct ourselves properly as in the day, not in orgies or drunkenness, not in promiscuity or licentiousness, not in rivalry or jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the desires of the flesh." Talk about God sending signs, right? He was 31 years old, and his entire world collapsed. But God was going to build him a new one. He did convert, was baptized, and by that same bishop, by the way, and he became one of the most influential saints, writers in our church. We still use his writings in our faith today. And listen to what he said about that day. He wrote later in a book called The Confessions. "Late have I loved you," meaning he felt it was so late, he was 31. "Late have I loved you, O beauty ever ancient, ever new. Late have I loved you. You were within me, but I was outside. And it was there that I searched for you. You called, you shouted, you broke through my deafness. You flashed, you shone, and you dispelled my blindness. I have tasted you, and now I hunger and thirst for more. You touched me, and I burned for your peace." As a side note, he credits his conversion not only, of course, to God's grace, but to the tears of his mother, Monica, who prayed for him nonstop every day for 31 years. Don't give up on your children, folks. The deaf and the mute. God's secret weapon here was a mother. So think about this. What in your life is making you deaf to God's word, to God's voice? What is the noise around you, whether it's real or things that create the noise around you that might be making you deaf to God's will, his voice? Because, brothers and sisters, God's will is the most important thing in the world. And as disciples, if we haven't realized that and we don't believe that, then we are not yet disciples. We're still living for ourselves and not for him. Because God's will is the most important thing in the whole world. So what distractions keep you deaf to him, keep you mute, avoiding speaking about him? Because this is what Jesus stands ready to heal us from. And so we look at the gospel. Jesus gets our attention with a physical healing like this. The man in the gospel is deaf, and that is why he can't speak correctly. It's what's making him mute. And so Jesus, Mark says, takes him away from the crowd, off by themselves. And then he does what we might think is an odd thing, not only putting his fingers in his ears, but spitting and putting that onto his tongue. And you just went, ooh, right? Remember, this is God's spit, so it's okay. So what is he doing there? Why that? It's actually a beautiful symbolism. In the rabbinic tradition, especially in Jesus' time, they had the symbol, the idea, that when God made us from the dust, he had to make clay, and so he spit to make the clay. They didn't believe this physically, by the way. This was just an image they were giving for God creating. And so what you have here, Jesus Christ, the Word incarnate, the Word through whom all things were made, he spits on this guy in order to take the clay and recreate it, to fix him. God is fixing this man. And this is what he wants to do for you and me. And I say he wants to do it because he does, but he will not force you to accept it. Otherwise, that wouldn't be love. We would have no free will. God does not force us to love him. He does not force us even to accept what is good for us. But if we do allow him to heal, he will recreate us, and he will break through and shatter our deafness. And then, like that man in the gospel, we won't be able to hold it in. We will no longer be mute, unable to talk about him. We will do it naturally wherever we go. Now, of course, First of all, we have to realize that we need to be healed, that we need a Savior. Doesn't God, though, love me just the way I am? People say. Why change if he's going to love me just as I am? Well, yes, you know what? He does love you as you are right now. But he loves you too much to leave you the way he found you. That's not what God has in store for you. He loves you enough that he desires you to change, desires you to become more like himself. So we can say with St. Paul, it is no longer not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Now looking out, I see we have parents, a lot of people who are parents out there. Now, did you or have your children ever made bad decisions? Of course, yeah, I hear it now. You wanted so hard to stop them from making the decision, but you couldn't, and they did it anyway. Of course, you still love them the way they are. You love them as your children. But do you want them to stay in a pattern that's keeping them from doing the best they can, that's actually bringing them down, that's hurting them, to stay in a string of bad decisions and selfish ones? If only they would take your advice, right? Why can't you just do what I ask? That's what my father used to say a lot to me. Well, that is what our Father, God the Father, is saying to us, his children. Why can't you just do what I ask? I'm asking it for your good. Or do you think that you're fine the way you are? Maybe we've convinced ourselves that we are happy, or at least happy enough, because we don't want to change. But we're not really living the faith. But we don't want to change. Well, God is not happy with that. He loves you too much for that. He wants so much more for you. You are his creation, and you can be so much more, but you and I have to cooperate. So I tell you, do not settle. Do not settle for being mediocre when you could be so much more. Never be lukewarm in your faith, because we are the ones who are deaf and who need to hear. We can be so spiritually deaf that we can show up to Mass in the morning and then can't remember the gospel that was read on our trip home for lunch. We can be so mute, unable to speak, that we can't think of a single word to say to our neighbor or coworker to move them toward faith in God, Jesus Christ, and the church he founded, even when they ask us for it. Though we may have been Catholic all our lives, we are deaf and mute. But friends, the good news is Jesus can heal the deaf and the mute. He can heal you and me. Maybe the first step to this is him taking you away from the crowd, taking you and taking you off to one of these sides in the church, into a little room called a confessional, and getting started there and recreating you, forgiving you all of your sins, and bringing you back to your baptismal grace. That is recreation, and that is a gift. Even now, says the Lord, no matter what's happened, return to me with all of your heart. Allow Jesus to take you aside to fix you, and then go and set the world on fire. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us stand.